Good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the third hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to poke stream, go to the Animal World website. That would be MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live link upper right. That'll quick you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen upper left and then Listen Online. You'll be all set up to stream the show. And, of course, you can find us on Facebook. Go to Facebook. Look, Martha Norwalk's Animal World. That's where you'll find the post about the answers, beef and chicken food recall. And or you can go to truthaboutpetfood.com for that. All right, it is an extra Sunday, and we're spending that time with Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org. And oh my gosh, we have another member of the family that joined that I didn't know that was here, that kind of snuck in. Merritt was on a walkabout again. And all right, you two, who is that cute little... That's a whitish little dog, looks a little terrier type guy laying on the couch next to us. So who is the dog?
That was Teddy.
Teddy. So, okay, now we have, so we got Henry the rooster and Arabella the chicken, and then Sebastian the cat, and now Teddy the dog.
Right.
So what, Sebastian's a big black.
Russian blue. Yeah, the color's Russian blue.
Oh, really? Because he looks more blackish on the camera. And it's a dark long hair. Now, what about Teddy? What breed is Teddy?
Your guess is as good as ours.
Yeah, sometimes we say he might be a cross of Jack Russell and Shiba Inu.
Not Shiba Inu.
Thinking a little bit of Schnauzer, too, or something.
It could be.
Yeah, yeah.
But the other thing, maybe Havanese, something like that.
Oh, you know, a little.
We often have him on the Animals 24/7 website, sitting in front of a laptop or something. But the story on him is that a guy I went to high school with, Raphael Peck, and his girlfriend found him hiding under a car near the Standard Oil refinery in Richmond, California.
Wow.
Actually, during the Paradise fire incident in 2018, and the dog didn't get along with their dog, so Raphael called me up and asked if we could take him. We drove down to Grants Pass, met Raphael, and brought Teddy home, and he's been our mascot dog ever since.
And how long ago was that you...
2018. So we've had...
2018, okay. So he's 5 years or so.
He's about seven now.
About seven, all right. Now, and he and Sebastian get along well?
They coexist.
Okay. And how about, how does Teddy do with Henry and Arabella?
Won't go near him.
Oh, really?
No, unfortunately, Henry bit him on the butt and pulled some hair out.
Uh-oh. So he respects those chickens.
He respects them. He doesn't trust them. He wants nothing to do with them. And actually...
I don't think you trust Sebastian either, but Sebastian doesn't give a damn about him.
Teddy has come a very long way. I believe that he was a Christmas puppy locked in a bathroom while people went to work. Then, because he needed grooming, I think they lost interest, and either he escaped or they dumped him. He wasn't quite a year old yet, and he was afraid of birds. He was afraid of his own shadow. And he's come so far, he was afraid of people, but he loved dogs.
Uh-huh.
He just knows when a dog is friendly and nice, he loves at least for 2 minutes anyway. It doesn't last that long. But the other thing is, he would have nothing to do with people. And now, you know, I taught him what friend is with a sign language, friend.
Oh, good.
And now he'll actually go up and give him a little lick and then walk away. So he's come so far. He's a good boy.
Well, you've got good instincts. That's the word I use too. Friends as a cue word to let, you know, our dogs know how they're supposed to respond
right.
to someone. It's a great word. But anyway, he looked and Teddy looked quite calm and relaxed and good on the couch, you know, and he showed me the pictures. So it looks like he's come a long way.
Let me just say he was very quirky.
Yeah.
At first, he would gather our shoes if we went out. You know, he was not a little puppy. We didn't crate him. He was already housebroken, but he would gather like one of each of our shoes and put them on our bed. And we'd come home to one of my shoes, one of Merritt's shoes on our bed. Then he would, at night, we got him a little bed. At night, he'd either, okay, this may, I hope this is okay. He would either grab my underwear or Merritt's underwear and put it in his bed with him.
Uh-huh. Well, you see, you know, our dog's social habits are not the same as humans. And so, you know, and they sniff body parts to learn stuff. And probably one of their favorite things. Their favorite things are dirty underwear and dirty socks.
Well,
I'll tell you, the strangest thing he ever did, though. While we were out, he pulled the wallet out of my pants pocket, opened the wallet, pulled out a $100 bill, and took off with that. He left everything else in the wallet.
Oh, it only took the $100 bill. Wow. Yeah.
Wait, and put it in his dog bed and didn't eat it.
Oh, bless his heart that he didn't eat it, thank goodness.
Saving it up for a good dog biscuits. Value.
And I'd like to say we don't always have $100 bills in our wallet.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, you know, it reminds me, I saw some kind of special, and I don't know what it was, where it was, it is a news story, but there's actually an official department where people sit, you know, with magnifying glasses and tweezers, and their job is to piece back together dollar bills or, you know, and apparently, I mean, there's an official department, government that does this. So, you know, if you get money that gets partially burned up or damaged and stuff, if they can get enough of it together, you know, then they'll replace it and so forth. But I didn't realize that that's some people's job is sticking money back together. You know, like dollar bills and Chong, stuff.
Cheech and Chong recycling the dope after it had been through the dog.
I did. There was part of that story with someone searching through their dog's, you know, poop to find the pieces of the money.
Happens.
So it does happen, and apparently there's an official department and it's actually their job. All right, so now we know, at least in the Clifton family, we don't just have Henry and Ella, Arabella. We now have Sebastian, and bringing up the rear, we got little Teddy. And he's doing great and has made great strides since you've had him. So that's fabulous. All right, so we've got some time to go, and we can cover some other subjects. Well, let's see. I can Nathan. Did we get any calls for anybody else that's got any subjects on their mind?
Nope. But it's a good time to remind people if there's a particular news item related to animals you want to know more about, just give us a call at 425-373-5527 or toll free is 888-298-5569. You can also send us an email to animalworldlive@hotmail.com. That'd be a good thing to do, so you could put a little link to that article that you're referencing.
All right. Okay. So, if you guys want to chime in, anything you want to know about. Otherwise, anything you can think of current that would be important for us to talk about today, you guys?
Well, you had asked, before we were on the air, you had asked about Kamala Harris's record on animals that we had referenced a couple of times. And there are a couple things I would like to mention on that. She had an exceptional...
That's right. Kamala Harris, Tim Walz, and the Democratic ticket. And we're talking about their, you know, because that sounds like a good subject, because I really don't know anything about, you know, what's their record on animals and where do they stand?
But it goes back, in her case, to her record as a prosecutor in San Francisco. She had a very good record of prosecuting animal neglect and cruelty cases. And she also supervised the famous murder by dog case in 2001, where a lacrosse coach named Diane Whipple was killed in the hallway of her apartment by two Presa Canarios.
I remember that story.
Well, that was
really an awful, awful story.
She put together the prosecution team, worked on it personally, and one of the young lawyers...
So Kamala Harris was on the prosecution team for that case. Because I remember when it happened. I remember the story.
And one of the young lawyers that was on that team is Gavin Newsom. So there were two figures of...
Oh, wow. Because he's now the governor of California.
Right, right. Subsequent to her experience as prosecutor... she became California Attorney General and again had a very strong record of prosecuting animal-related cases. And then, of course, she was elected to Congress. And she's the first presidential candidate who ever got 100% on the Humane Society of the United States' Humane Scorecard.
Oh, wow.
Just 1 year. She did it throughout her political tenure. So we never had another candidate for president that had that kind of record. And then as vice president, she helped to shepherd to passage two of the more important pieces of pro-animal legislation of the last 20 years, the Horse Racing Integrity Act, which instituted a national drug testing program for racehorses, set some other standards for racehorse safety, and has reduced racetrack fatalities significantly in just a few years of enforcement. And the other one, this is the really big one, the Big Cat Public Safety Act, which basically shut down Lion King, Tiger King type trafficking, which had been a big issue. That was one of the very first animal issues that I looked into as an investigative reporter back in the 70s, the traffic in large and exotic cats. And it's been cut down to the point where one of the major big cat shelters in the United States, the Big Cat Rescue in Tampa, Florida, actually shut down and evacuated all its animals to a smaller sanctuary, actually ahead of Hurricane Helene. So they had no animals on the premises anymore when the hurricane hit.
You've probably heard of Carol Baskin.
Right.
Yes.
Carol Baskin was able to retire basically because 20 years ago she had 200 impounded lions, tigers, and other big cats on the premises. And at the time she decided to retire, it was fewer than 40. And many of those were quite elderly because the number that were getting into trouble was coming down. And that's the Big Cat Public Safety Act, the effect of the Big Cat Public Safety Act, which, by the way, Carol Baskin pushed very hard. And Kamala Harris picked it up as the presiding officer of the Senate and made sure it finally got enacted into law and is being enforced. Then she also had a really good record on farmed animal issues, beginning as Attorney General in California. You may remember Proposition 2 and then later Proposition 12 were passed to establish cage-free conditions for chickens and ban the gestation crate for pigs. The really strong part of those laws was that people were not allowed, or companies, I should say, were not allowed to import and sell in the state of California pork and eggs and poultry products that were not produced in accord with the California state laws. That was challenged by the industry, and it was Kamala who took the case to the U.S. Supreme Court and won.
Wow.
Then a similar law was passed in Massachusetts, Question 3. The U.S. Supreme Court, just this last spring, upheld Question 3 using the arguments that Kamala had set forth in defense of Proposition 2 and 12. The appeals process had taken many years. So it's really quite an outstanding record sustained over quite a few years. It's not just a fly-by-night thing to get votes. It's something that's been consistently part of her record from her first entry into public life.
Well, that's important because, you know, a lot of candidates will do things last minute to try to, you know, build their resume or something and make themselves look good or, you know, change their stance on something simply for political reasons. But it sounds like there's a real long history here that definitely supporting animals and working for animals.
There's also some history for Tim Wiles.
I was going to say, do we know any history on Tim?
Yeah. Well, we know two things. Number one, we know that he is a recreational hunter. He shoots deer. I presume he also shoots ducks. But on the other hand, all of his family's pets have been adopted from humane organizations going back over a long period of years. So, and we also know that he has been quite critical of trophy hunting, where the animal is shot just for the head and hide, not to eat. So he seemed, the term ethical hunter is very often an oxymoron. It's very often a contradiction in terms. But at the same time, I remember some of the old guys I worked with back when I was a volunteer assistant to a Quebec deputy game warden, and they really tried to be ethical hunters. And Wiles, to me, looks like a throwback to that kind of a guy. His record is generally favorable on animal issues.
All right. All right. Well, that's good to know. I mean, if you need a reason to can't come up with anything else for Kamala, if you love animals, she is the one. She's definitely both feet all in and has a long history of fighting for animals and humane laws and all of that good stuff. So that's excellent to know. On the other side of the presidential ticket, do we have any animal supporters there?
Unfortunately not. Donald Trump actually had, in my view, the worst record for animals
and family
of any U.S. president since Andrew Jackson.
Okay.
Andrew Jackson opened up a lot of the West to the massacre of the bison and so forth. So, and early in life, by reputation, he was a cockfighter. So he had a pretty bad reputation. But from there on, and especially post-Abraham Lincoln, presidents have made a point of being pro-animal to at least the extent of having a pet dog. Trump was the first occupant of the White House who had no pets and had never had any pets. So there's just really no positive relationship. And of course, his two sons are both very ardent hunters. And he put people like Aurelia Skipwith, a trophy hunter, in charge of U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and his record on enforcing the Animal Welfare Act with Sonny Perdue as his agriculture secretary, the entire tenure of his presidency, it just isn't there. You look for any record of enforcement. And it was the least enforcement of the Animal Welfare Act since the first ancestor of it was introduced in 1966. The fewest cases, the fewest prosecutions, the fewest inspections, the least public access to the inspection records.
You beat me to it.
It was all very, very bad.
Yeah, and of course, if you want to know the corner of the market of trophy hunting and the sons, Yeah, you don't get me started on that one. But do you think there's ever going to be a day when this trophy hunting stuff is going to be ended? You know, that because you can go to Africa, you can go to, you know, farms where, you know, you pay to be able to kill, you know, gorgeous wildlife just simply as trophies.
It's a travesty. You know, it originated with the strong man protecting the family from the predator that may attack them or attack their livestock or whatever. And culturally, some of this stuff has come forward into our time, but it's very obsolete, and it tends to be carried out in a symbolic manner because we no longer literally have predators, animal predators anyway, that are any kind of a really serious threat to us. Even all the controversy over wolves in places like Colorado, they're not harming any people, and they're not harming all that many livestock either. A ratio of several packs of wolves to every livestock animal is verifiably killed, as opposed to being scavenged when they die from natural causes.
Yeah, all right. I'm looking at the clock, and we're over time here. So, and it, because it's the last hour, Nathan won't let us stay longer than noon. You know, I just don't understand that, but he'll kick us out. So let's go ahead and take care of our advertisers, and we will come back and continue our discussion with Merritt and Beth Clifton are here from animals24-7.org. If there's anything going on with animals around the country, around the world that you want to know more about, you can certainly give us a call, and we'll see what they know about it. Local number 425-373-5527. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
There is a horizontal world, and there is a vertical world. Living horizontally Our concerns are based in fear and survival. But then we hear a call to live vertically, to connect to our wholeness. Linda Rasmussen, with Vertical Energy, uses a process that helps you balance higher consciousness through your body. When you live vertically, you reap the benefits of health, peace, and clarity. For a free introductory session, call 206-841-1992.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping, or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Going against the grain has never been this much fun. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're midway through the last hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And let's see, we heard from our wonderful Linda Rasmussen. She's our bioenergetic synchronization technique, or best therapist. We'll be here the third Sunday of October, this coming month. And she continues to offer a free introductory session to any of you that call or text her at the number I'm going to give you. If she's already worked with you on the air at any point in time, that doesn't count. She'll still give you a free session off the air. She works out of the Intraspace facility in the old Rainier Brewery. That's where her office is. And she'd be happy to work with you in person, or she can work with you remotely, because with energetic medicine, remember, there is no issue with distance. So, can I give you your number? Write it down. You can call or text her. Tell her you'd like a free session, and she will be happy to provide that for you. Number is 206-841-1992. 206-841-1992. Then, of course, if you need have problems with your dog friends, that's what I do. I'm an animal behavior therapist and trainer. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation. So, spree, I could use some business right now. I need to serve. So, if you know anybody's got problems with their animals, tell them I'll always talk to them for free on the phone. Have them give me a call. And the good news is that I take care of things real quickly. Usually, only have to see my clients once. And I give free phone follow-up privileges after I've seen someone. So, give them my number, 360-217-7258. 360-217-7258. Speaking of that, and being a dog trainer, Merritt and Beth Clifton are here from animals24-7.org. We were talking about, I think at the end of the previous hour, about the 91-year-old woman in Chehalis that was attacked by her German Shepherds, and we were getting into aggressive dogs, and Merritt was rattling off all kinds of statistics, and I was saying, you know, we got to do a show about this because you have so much information that most of us don't have a clue about, and it really is quite amazing when you see it all together. But we had somebody called in, and I guess the question for me was, is as a trainer, how do you deal with and but cool the jets of an aggressive dog? Well, there isn't a definitive answer to that. And what I'll tell you is, as a behavior therapist and dog trainer, and I started training dogs in grade school. Okay. I was working professionally by the time I was 15. By the 80s, I had almost 20 years of working in veterinary medicine and training dogs and teaching obedience classes and all of that, and realized that wasn't enough to solve the problems people were having with their dogs. You know, they could learn sit down, stay, come, heel, and they'd still go bite the neighbor or pee on the couch or chew up the, you know, the carpet. But at any rate, so that's when I sold out of the obedience organization I co-owned and started collecting dogs off of death row and figuring out how to be a behavior therapist and why dogs do what they do and how to change problems and all that sort of thing. Well, I learned tons, and I'll tell you that in my opinion, with the vast majority of aggressive dogs, there's lots of different reasons why, but in the vast majority of cases, all of the dogs are retrievable. Even the most serious aggression stuff. Problem is not usually the dogs, it's the people. But on the other hand, I am expanding my understanding of this whole world specifically due to the work that Merritt and Beth are doing. And that's why I want to do a show together, because I want us all to learn from them and then statistically. But what I'll tell you is a vast majority is a rare, they'll run into an aggressive dog in whatever way. And they can be aggressive dogs, might be aggressive towards other animals, but they're okay with people. They might be aggressive towards people, but strangers. They might be aggressive towards the people they live with. An owner-directed aggression, that's a big one that I have to deal with. But usually it's all resolvable. Sometimes it's genetics. You know, I mean, genetics has a lot to do with it. Sometimes there is an underlying endocrine immune imbalance that 50 to 90% of our dog friends have on a level, and it underlies irrational, spontaneous aggression type stuff. So sometimes that has to be addressed. So the biggest reason that these problems aren't resolvable is because the humans are not willing to do what needs to be done, or don't have the money to spend, or what needs to solve the problem. And a lot of problem, of course, is just neglectful people to begin with, because they don't socialize their dogs well and all of that. And then, of course, we have situations like the pandemic when we're locked down and you can't do the things you would normally do with dogs. So I'm still seeing repercussions from that. But the kind of the bottom line is, if somebody calls me and I'm going to deal with an aggressive dog in some way, shape, or form. Now, if it's an owner-directed aggression, sometimes we have to take the dog away from the owners for a while and reprogram the dog and then integrate him back in, or recognize it wasn't a good match and switch up. But assuming it, you know, it's dealable, then when I go in, the first step is always control the bad behavior. You got to stop it and get control. Okay. Then the second step is you got to change the way the dog feels about it. So some dogs say will only attack dogs that are their same size or larger, but they're fine with little dogs. Well, in those dogs' minds, they realize I can take care of the little dogs, not a problem, so I don't get upset. The bigger dog or same size might cause a problem. And part of the problem with dogs is if they feel threatened in any way, shape, or form, in their mind, the best defense is a powerful offense. So if I'm a dog and I feel threatened, I'm going to act as tough and as nasty as possible to convince who's ever threatening me I'm too tough to mess with. Anyway, so it's basically is control the bad behavior, then change the way they feel about what they're aggressive towards. So if they're aggressive towards dogs, you got to get that problem under control so they can be around other dogs and not attack. Then you're ready for step two, and you can change the way they feel about other dogs. And the good news is if you've got the right sales pitch, you can pretty much convince dogs of just about anything. Not true with cats, okay, but true with dogs. You can pretty much convince them of anything. So in the vast majority of cases, these things are addressable. But you're going to find tendencies in different breeds and experiences and all that sort of stuff. So there isn't an absolute, and that's all I really have time for to go into. But it just in my experience, vast majority of cases, and I can tell you stories of horrendously aggressive dogs that have caused all kinds of problems. But yet behind the scenes, were rescued, rehabilitated, and lived, you know, happy ever after lives. So usually it's all retrievable. But then there's a whole nother ball game, and that's what happens when you get a pack of dogs or a group of dogs together. And then that can really change the dynamics. And then there's some, I've got wonderful stories to tell about even if you end up in a pack situation and an attack situation, if the human knows what they're doing, then you can do stuff that will prevent you from being attacked. It's usually our own behavior that gets us into trouble and so forth. But at any rate, so that's what I can tell you. To just a straight answer, how do you deal with cool the jets of an aggressive dog? You got to train the dog and stop and control the aggressive behavior. And step two, because that's where most training stops. Step two, if you're dealing with me, is that you then have to change the way the dog feels about what's going on. So you can't just stop them from biting the kid, the toddler. You got to change the way they feel about toddlers in general. But if you know what you're doing, yeah, go ahead, Merritt.
Martha, what I was going to mention, remember what I said earlier about manufactured breeds versus natural breeds?
Yeah, that's something I really want to get into with you guys, because I wasn't even aware that there were statistics on that stuff.
Well, a natural breed dog would normally live in a pack situation and develop family manners and so on and so forth. And historically, mm-hmm. they have, and that's why for a couple hundred thousand years, they've been our companions. But a manufactured breed is a dog who has been modified in some way to not act like a natural dog. It differs. In some cases, it's accentuating an instinct to herd or to retrieve. In the case of a fighting dog, what has been taken out of that dog through selective breeding is the normal inhibitions that a dog as a pack animal is going to have about attacking another dog or a person. The inhibitions are out. So it's like, kind of like if you take the brakes out of a car, you can squash the brake pedal all you want. It ain't going to stop. The other thing is, I don't really like the term aggression because it covers too many things.
Yeah.
What really gets people killed, regardless of the breed, is reactivity. A normal dog, when something upsets it, it'll give warnings. And there's all kinds of warnings. There's the growl, the lips curl back, the rough.
Yeah, that's something, when I'm working with people and helping them understand their, aggressive or reactive dog, especially if it's with other dogs or multiple dog households and we got fighting together or these kind of things, I have to teach them specifically how dogs communicate with each other in that department. I usually use the example of a dad dog and puppies and how the puppy learn and stuff, but you're right. They learn this, there's a specific sequence that dogs go through when they're communicating with each other. But I'm kind of convinced that genetic code has been broken in a lot of the breeds.
Absolutely.
And some follow the rules, and then some of them haven't read the book and they don't necessarily follow the rules.
Yeah, they haven't read the book because it's not their book.
It's not their book. Okay.
A fighting dog is bred, has historically been bred for 500 years to be in full fighting mode when it crosses the scratch line, and the dog that what starts the fight, and the dog that hesitates at that point to give a warning signal is the dog who gets killed and doesn't pass along any genes. So this is why at this point we have such a very bad problem with descendants of fighting dogs, even crossed with other dogs, who don't have the normal inhibition to give warning signals, to try to avoid a fight, to circle around and sniff butts instead of going straight for the throat. And most of the time when we're investigating a fatality, which at this point we're talking hundreds and hundreds, we find that there was no warning signal. The person who was killed or injured oftentimes had no idea the dog was there, let alone not getting the warning signal. And in many cases too, whatever set the dog off was a sound, a scent, something that was beyond the human threshold of perception. So all of a sudden the dog goes off and the person has no idea why, let alone having no idea how to defend himself or herself. Now we're looking at this 91-year-old woman who was killed by her two German shepherds. We're talking about somebody who at that age was very likely hearing impaired. So it might even have been something that another a younger adult might have heard, but something set those dogs off, and it's very likely she never had any idea what set them off. But once they went off, she had no ability to control them.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I'm having trouble at all even getting a connection with that case and what might have at this point doesn't make any sense to me. But I can tell you now, you know, and I don't have all the answers. If I ever do, I won't be here anymore. But I don't have all the answers. I'm still learning all the time about dogs and their behavior. And I certainly don't have the experience and the knowledge from all the research that you've done on dogs. But I can tell you that all the cases that I've dealt with, you know, in my 70 some years, because remember, I've been doing this since grade school. And remember, there was in the 80s, I had a compound and collected dogs off of death row and the most aggressive and all kinds of stuff I could get to figure out all that sort of stuff. But even with all the cases I've dealt with, even with what I call the screwballs, that the wires aren't connected right, and it's usually because of this Pluckner underlying endocrine immune imbalance that underlies extreme and irrational fear and aggression, that there's physical reasons that they can't control at some levels. Even when I'm dealing with them, I have never had a case that I couldn't tell you what the trigger was. Okay. Now, I don't know if I could hold that line if we had an in-depth conversation and you're giving me the feet, because I'm sure there probably are cases where that you just don't know, but I've never seen one that I couldn't tell you what the trigger was.
I heard Nathan say what the caller had asked, but I got the impression what they meant was in that moment, if you're near an aggressive dog, what should you do? About that?
Yeah.
I have personally been in those situations.
Okay. I have a story. I almost told it, but I decided not to. Now I have to. However, I've looked at the clock. Okay. So we have to take care of advertisers to keep Nathan happy. Then we'll come back and I'll tell you my story. It's a pit bull story. I'll tell you my story so that you understand the basic concept. And then we'll see where we go from there. All right. So everybody stay right where you are. Gonna talk. What do? You got pit bulls running at you. They're going to take you on and take you out. Well, been there, done that. I'll let you know. Okay. All right. Animal World continues right here at Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Do you ever feel overwhelmed by all that's happening in the world? Triggered by people around you? What's going on in your personal life or shifting energies? Looking for inspired guidance? Need to talk? Natasha Ventner, intuitive personal awareness coach and medium, can help by sharing insights, tips, and tools to support you through life's glitches and snags. Natasha helps you empower yourself. Visit Natasha's website, intuitiveclarifications.com, to discover how her unique skills and heartfelt, caring approach can help you. That's intuitiveclarifications.com.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Working hard to put a smile on your face. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're winding down this week's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from Natasha Venter. She's our medium, communicator, resident psychic gal, and she'll be here the second Sunday of October with us. And you can check her out at intuitiveclarifications.com, intuitiveclarifications.com. Her YouTube channel is Natasha Venter. I see for intuitive clarification. Natasha Venter, I see on YouTube. She is here once a month. She does a regular podcast at 4 o'clock on Wednesdays. You'll find that on her YouTube channel. And she's available for private readings. You can check her out at intuitiveclarifications.com or give her a call at 360-770-7486. 360-770-7486. If you do something great for animals or the planet, come join our Animal World family of advertisers. If you're interested, shoot me an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. And remember, our premier sound healer, Jude Ponton at Whispering Dragon Center, is available for new clients. It can work with you in person or remotely. Whispering-dragon.com is the website, Whispering Dragon Center on Facebook, or give her a call at 206-706-2836. 206-706-2836. All righty. In the middle of discussion with Merritt and Beth Clifton, animals24-7.org, talking about dog aggression, a caller that called in. I was just giving all spiel about dog aggression, that sort of thing. But then Beth, you kind of clarified, said, well, I think maybe the caller might have been talking about what do you do when you encounter aggressive dogs? How do you deal with that? All right. So my best story. Remember, you got the right sales pitch. You can convince dogs of just about anything. I'm going to go quickly through this story. My mom dropped dead in 2002, and my dad had dementia, couldn't live alone. I sold my farm. Me and my golden retriever, Annie, moved back into the neighborhood I grew up in, Laurelhurst, to live and care for my elderly father. So Annie, golden retriever, she was the most messed up golden retriever I ever knew. I rescued her as a puppy. She had this endocrine immune imbalance. She had extreme and irrational aggression and fear and all kinds of that stuff. But she was an adult by then, probably 5 to 7 years old or maybe that. And so I had worked her through a lot of that stuff. Anyway. Lived in the city here in Laurelhurst, so a half a block away and across the street, there's a big open field area. If you know Laurelhurst, you would know what I'm talking about. And I would take Annie over there, walk her on a leash over there and throw the chucket because she was like to chase the tennis ball. So throw the chucket back and forth. Okay. So one day, now usually I always have a pouch and treats in my pocket and stuff. This particular day when I took Annie over to play ball with her, I didn't take any treats with me. Don't know why, but I usually always do, but didn't. All right. So I'm there throwing the ball for Annie. And then out of the corner of my eye, I see this big SUV come screaming down the road and then screeches on the brakes and stops next to the park. And a woman jumps out of the car and runs over to me and says, oh God, there's pit bulls loose in the neighborhood and they're going to kill somebody. And we got to find them before they kill somebody. And they're running loose. Have you seen them? And I said, no. And so she runs back into the SUV and off they go, burning rubber down the road. Now, hindsight being 2020, a wise person probably would have taken their dog home. Okay. But I just ignored it and I kept playing ball with Annie. Okay. So when this happens now, I'm at one end of the field and I've thrown the chucket ball to that. It's like a big football field worth of grass. and she's at the other end of this football field of grass in the ball. Out of the corner of my eye, same place the SUV came from, here come two pit bulls running 180 miles an hour straight for me. So I know I'm an animal behavior therapist. I'm a trainer. I've read all the stories. Fortunately, I hadn't read all the Merritt and Cliff stories, but I know what can happen. And I'm thinking, oh, crap, why don't I have my food and all of that? So, but I also knew, here's, I got to pull up my big girl pants and I got to really do the right thing here. Because I also know, see, with my, so these dogs come charging straight at me. And just before they get there, Annie's back at the other end of the field getting the tennis ball and starting to head back. I just start my happiest, best voice and all the words I can think of they might think of. I'm saying, oh boy, biscuits, oh boy, treats, find the treats. And I'm looking down at the ground and I'm pointing and I'm saying, where are the biscuits? Find the biscuits. Where are the treats? Now, if I'd had treats, I'd be pitching some at this point, but I didn't. So I had to sell it. Oh boy, where are the treats? Find the treats. Well, a dogs came 100 miles an hour up to me, just hit the brakes. And then they're, oh, what are we looking for? Okay, what are we looking for? Okay, now by this time, here comes Annie back with her ball. She gets to about, and her, she'd get to about, you know, 5 feet or so from me, and then she drops the ball, and I would get it with a chuck it, throw it again. But what I already knew about this dog, remember, she has this endocrine immune imbalance, and she's not right in the head, and she's extremely reactive and aggressive. So she runs back, she's the pits are there, she drops the ball. And so I'm saying to her, because I've trained her, and I'm saying, friends, Annie, oh boy, friends, it's friends, where are the biscuits, where are the treats, oh boy, friends. Because as soon as she comes back and drops that ball, these two pits go right to her. You know, we got the noses, and there, and she's frozen standing over her ball. Now I know if either one of those pits goes for the ball, my dog is dead. Because she would fire up and they, you know, I'm not getting the middle of a golden retriever and two pits. So I'm doing my best. Oh, friends. And what friends to my dogs means, you need to accept what's going on. You don't have to like it, but you don't get to react. So I'm saying, friends, Annie, oh boy, friends, where's the biscuits? Where's the biscuits? Friends, Annie, oh boy, friends, where's the biscuits? Where's the treats? Where's the kicking? Friends. So they posture off a bit and all of that. And then all of a sudden the pit bulls say, okay, nothing here. And boom, they're off like a shot. And I'm like, oh, phew. Thank goodness. Annie and I went home. But that situation could have gone south in a heartbeat. Absolutely. Had I not been me and I'd not known, if those pit bulls coming towards, if I'd screamed, all over, okay? If Annie had reacted, all of that. But I knew enough and I had laid the groundwork with my own dogs and I knew all about, and I have people teach formal jolly routines and all kinds of stuff. But we got out of it absolutely unscathed, and it could have totally gone south. So that's kind of the bottom line. Like, you know, if you're a jogger in the neighborhood and a dog, you know, you go by a regular one all the time and it comes out, you know, barking and all of that, carry treats with you. You walk by, don't acknowledge them, don't say anything to them, just pitch treats, walk on by. Now, doesn't take very long, 1 to 3 repetitions. And I say, whoa, that's the guy with the treats. So that's the girl with the treats. They might try to kill everybody else, but they'll roll out the red carpet when you go by because, you know, they anticipate these rituals. So that's the kind of the bottom line with, if they're aggressive, get happy, get jolly, got a good sales pitch, you can cue out. Yeah.
Well, here's the problem. You and I have so much vast experience with dogs.
Yeah.
Where the average person does not. Doesn't. I think you handled it amazingly.
Wonderful.
That I wouldn't have done anything different. What I call it is my sweet vet tech voice.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. See, well, I was a vet tech too. See, so we have that experience, you know.
Right. But
I don't know about you, but when I was a vet tech, the first thing the vet said to me is that my hands are more valuable than yours. And so if anybody lets go, it's me. You're the one that's gonna get bit.
Right. That's,
well, I had to learn how to not get bit.
But people that don't have a lot of dog experience, much less a lot of aggressive dog experience, the first thing is they're scared. They don't know what to do, and the dog will react.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it's not easy for the average person to you know, handle it as perfectly as you did. You literally handled it perfectly. That was instinctual and experience.
Glad you say it. Yes. Well, that's why this is what I do, but you guys do what you do. And that's why. So I've already decided. I think let's plan on the next extra Sunday. Let's make this our topic. I think we've laid the groundwork now. We're ready so that I think we'll all have to prepare ourselves, because I think we're gonna have some shock when you share with us all the statistics you have and all the research that you've done. And let's have you educate us. Now, I'll be able to chime in too with what I know and all of that. But then I think we can do this without having to fight with each other and making this a right or a wrong, because, you know, Beth's absolutely right. I knew what to do and I could do it. But that doesn't mean that everybody can do that. And
experience, actually, that I saw by accident. Two pit bulls were attacking a jogger, and I happened by in my car, and I wasn't quick enough to get there. So then I said, sit, as loud as I could, and it broke off the attack.
Yeah, so sometimes, yeah, it's the strangest things, you know, the dogs recognize things and that sort of thing. Well, and it looks like, boy, we have talked ourselves completely out of time, but we're going to go ahead and let's schedule the next extra Sunday month. We will begin, because I think we're probably going to end up doing more than one show about this, but we're going to talk about dog aggression and attacks, and especially on humans and all of this sort of thing and the different breeds. And then we got to get into this manufactured breeds as opposed to naturally developed breeds and all, because I didn't know anything about that. I mean, we've got a lot of learning to do. So I'm looking forward to that. And I really appreciate all of your knowledge and expertise and being able to spend it with us and being here. So hope you will enjoy the rest of your Sunday. And looks like you've got some sunshine too. And I'm going to get back to my refrigerator stuff. I'm not sure when the next fourth or fifth Sunday will be, but it's coming up. And next week, of course, is the first Sunday of October. So that's Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. We'll be talking to Meow Cat Rescue in Kirkland, Help Animals India. Eileen will be here. We'll talk again to Merritt and Beth and their crew, animals24-7.org, and the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga will fill us in on all the great classes and events coming up. So I hope you can join us for that. And golly. Bless you, Merritt and Beth, and thank you so much. And maybe we'll know more about the German Shepherds and this woman next week. Maybe you'll have some more details. But thank you so much. And thank you, Henry and Arabella. And thank you, Sebastian and Teddy. All right. So until next time. And Nathan, thank you. As always, I leave you with animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to, open your heart, share your love with all living things. And I'll talk to you again next week.